60% or more of our daily caloric intake in this country is ultra processed foods, foods that man has made, right? 60%, and it's higher with younger people. So they can put anything they want in there.
Welcome to The Immigrant Experience in America, an immigrant human library, where we amplify and humanize the experiences of immigrants in the United States and around the world. Listen in as we add another story to our immigrant human library.
I suggest you read Fiber Fueled and that you follow Dr. B, the Gut Health MD on Instagram. He talks about not only probiotics, but postbiotics and prebiotics. They all play a role in the gut. Focus on gut health. At the end of the day, and this man brings receipts, there's a huge, someone he highly admires did a huge study, like years and years and over 200,000 people to, you know, answer, you know, what is the healthiest way for us to eat? And what they concluded was diversity of plants. We live in a country where Americans are only getting 3% of the recommended fiber, daily fiber intake. Fiber is what feeds the gut, right? Not Metamucil in a bottle, but plants and fruit, stuff, foods with fiber in them, right? So what they concluded is the healthiest microbiome that they saw among healthy people were people who ate a variety of plants, about 30 different plants. It's not hard to do. So if you go to a store and you get, let's say, that 50-50 blend, if you look at how many, it's about 15 different plants in that, right? Like I like to do this mixture of cauliflower with broccoli and asparagus, right? And then I can do mixed peppers. So green, yellow, orange, those are all considered different. Cauliflower is considered different than the broccoli, right? So you can easily do that in a week if you eat salads in particular. So diversity of plants is the way to have a healthy microbiome is what is concluded in the book. Getting the necessary fiber. And he says even the recommended fiber, which only 3% of us are getting daily. This is why we're so sick. We're not getting enough fiber. People emphasize protein. We're not a protein deficient. We're not protein deficient. You can have too much protein in your system, and that has its own problems, right? You know, so there's a tendency, like right now, people, you'll hear a new slogan, don't count calories, count chemicals. So when you're reading the label, you know, you want a label, you want to eat foods that you can go and get each of the ingredients out of a store. Right? So if it's a 10 syllable chemical, and even in this FDA article, right, the guy mentioned a couple of mono, blah, 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 that's only salt. And he mentioned like three different chemicals that's, you know, and he was showing you not all chemicals are bad. He's right. But the way this article was written, somebody paid him. And I wrote that as the heading of when I shared and I reposted. I'm like, who paid you to write this? Right? So there's a serious mission. We can go back. I don't know if you remember when Oprah did that. She did a show where they were talking about hamburgers and the beef industry sued her. Do you remember that?
No, I missed that. I missed that. Sorry.
Oh, go read about that. Oh, because she had such power, right? Her show, if she said read a book, that book, number one, New York. I mean, she had that kind of clout. She's the one who helped Obama get elected. nobody can tell me differently, right? So the beef companies sued her. They lost at the end of the day, but she was shocked that they came at her like that. So these people protect their interest. They put false information out there. And a lot of the people who are, you know, remember the whole opioid crises that happened with doctors participating. Doctors participated in writing all those scripts. Pharmacies, right now, several of the pharmacies are closing because of their participation in the opioid crisis, right? That was not drug dealers, for the most part, standing on a corner here. The opioid crisis was created by doctors got paid, hospitals got paid, pharmaceuticals got paid at the expense of people. So the same thing is happening with the food industry. You know, they want to keep increasing their profits and they're targeting kids. One thing I'll say, and I'm going to write a blog, my next blog is probably going to be on this. When the tobacco industry, you know, went through what it went through and had to pay lawsuits and various things, when they diversified, they bought a couple of the big food companies.
And I'm thinking, why?
Because guess what?
Is it profits or there's something else behind it?
Well, guess what? I mean, food, we have to eat. We don't have to smoke, but we have to eat. And when you can control the chemicals in food, that's why grass is so dangerous. 10,000 additives in our food supply. That is deep. 60% or more of our daily caloric intake in this country is ultra processed foods, foods that man has made, right? 60%, and it's higher with younger people. So they can put anything they want in there. Addictive. That's why you see sugar in everything. People say, and you see it, they're very deceptive. They'll put it under different names so you don't know. Sucralose is sugar. Fructose, that's sugar too. You know, they have all the various names. But this is the deal, because it seems bleak and it seems overwhelming, but it really isn't. We do what we can. And we can, number one, control what we put in our body. You mentioned a term, and you're not far-fetched. We have to, some of us will have to detox from these foods. They're addictive. And see, this is the deal. People think of food as not dangerous. You don't think of food as, you know, a drug. But our food is now a drug. It has been designed to be, to have the same impact as a drug, right? Dopamine hits. That's what we get from sugar, right? So they've created a world of addicts, really. And you can see the impact. The number one addiction in the world, because of the spread of fast food restaurants into the world, is food addiction. They're not going to talk about that. Most people won't. There's a lot of people talking about it, but that's the number one addiction. And now so many of us are heavy, overweight, impacted by diseases that are lifestyle oriented, mm-hmm. right? You can't just eat one. People think they're making the decision, but they're not. The food is designed. First of all, one of the guardrails that the tobacco companies had was that they could not market to kids. Guess what? When it comes to food, they don't have those guardrails. They start aiming stuff at the kids young, from the placement and the stores. I mean, all these people work together on this stuff. If a kid starts screaming because they see something they want, you know, Captain Crunch or whatever, just to shut them up, the mother's going to buy it. This CEO, I'll send you this article as well, had the audacity to talk about how many families are eating cereal for dinner and how they're going to start marketing cereal as an option for dinner.
As I'm listening to you, the thing that came to mind is, how are we going to turn this around? Because there's at least a few generation who's grown up eating this stuff and it's normalized. They don't want a lot of the stuff that are, you know, that I would want to cook at home. How are we ever going to, this is all these children know. And you know, maybe I don't have the data to even start speaking on that, but I've been here now for 2 decades, but I've seen it. It's been a struggle to not get pulled in by the mainstream and to be cool, to be eating certain things. It is really sad. So I'm wondering, like, how does this impact our children? Is the next question. Like, you know,
after horribly. Obesity, when I read, I was doing one of my classes for a CEU, and I was reading about the impact of a kid being obese. Just how it impacts their brain, how it impacts their development. The impact is enormous, and we have more and more kids, you know, who are obese. And you know what the answer? And this is, we're going to have to fight. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to have to really fight. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to fast, because this, I read the other day, and see, there are people who are creating the problems. The absolute solution is to eat healthy foods and exercise, and don't overeat. It may take people detoxing. For some people who grew up all on ultra-processed foods with a taste that can be controlled, because you may get an orange, it might be tart, you get another one, it's sweet. So you can't, it's not cookie cutter like ultra-processed foods can be, right? So their taste buds, many of our taste buds have been absolutely hijacked, where we don't have any desire for the foods that our bodies are made for. See, that's the problem. Our bodies don't recognize a lot of this stuff. It doesn't. And with all the toxins, our bodies are made wonderfully, and our bodies are self-healing, right? But it can only take a certain amount of toxic overload. You follow? Because it's coming from so many places. Microplastics. I'm trying to drink water, but now I got microplastics because it's in a bottle, and they heated the water and they poured the hot water into a bottle where the plastics will seep into the water. The solution is to boil water. So now I'm buying water that I didn't have to boil the microplastics out of. And by the way, microplastics are everywhere on the planet. You can't even go to Antarctica in places and not see them in the water. So we do what we can. Some of us will recognize, because I'm going to tell you something else is happening. These chemicals are impacting fertility. They're impacting the male sperm. I had someone send me an email. He's an entrepreneur. He says, hey, it's like a stock tip for you. Start looking into fraternity clinics for men. That's going to be happening. And he started talking about how the motility of the sperm, the quality of the sperm. Men are going to have to go to fertility clinics. This is the food and the toxins. This scenario, I mean, this stuff is so serious that I wonder what kind of people are willing to sacrifice so much for money, right? Because y'all got to live, okay, they're not going to eat the same food. And now you're wondering, like, now the private people are going up to the moon. I think people are looking not to come here. I feel like I'm going so far out there. But they're trying to find another place to go because we're destroying the earth with all of this crap. Seriously. People got bunkers. They got all kind of stuff going on. 250 years since New Jersey had an earthquake of 4.8 magnitude. 250 years. Stuff is shifting. And a lot of it has to do with our lifestyle collectively. And what we do here is impacting countries that don't live like us. But going back to, because this is about immigrants, you know, what do we do? I think, first of all, the simpler things in life are more appealing now. I never thought I would think about, wonder how can I make my own, grow my own food, right? People who have land and they can grow their own food, who live in Jamaica, you are blessed. You are blessed. If you live anywhere in the world and you have your own little piece of land and you're able to grow your own food, knowing the quality of the soil, knowing where the seed came from, or to be able to pick a piece of fruit from your own tree, this is where our values have to be now. So certain things switch when you talk about, well, what do? We change our value system, right? I can't afford this. Well, stop wearing all the fancy clothes because at the end of the day, you're just going to be a fancy dress corpse. Really? We have to flip what we value. Right now, you know, you would not have seen these gray hairs. But I can't dye my hair now. I had some sort of reaction. I'm natural in terms of it being my own nappy dreads, but I have put color in my hair. This is another thing that's happening. Black women in particular, there are other women, but we are married. The number one industry, and I found this out in 1988, I was shocked, for black people is black hair care. Us changing the texture of our hair, right? And as much as people like to blame white folks for what we do, they're not requiring that. We require that of ourselves, you know. Oh, I have to look like, no, that is, in my experience, that's us doing that to ourselves.
Internalized issues, I guess, right?
When I see African women, the number, the percentage of them that use bleach on their skin, scary.
It's not only here, it's around the world too, and it's quite sad. I've noticed I went to high school in Jamaica, and that, I mean, people were doing it in trickles, little spots, but it was never a conversation I was having. And now I hear young people talking about, you see it everywhere. And I think it's because people equate that to lighter skin having access to economic resources, or, you know, there's the appearance that, you know, if you're lighter skin, you'll get access to a job or whatever they're thinking. And it's really sad. It really is.
Well, and it stems from some truth, because obviously if you go back to colonialism, you go back to slavery, the people who were the house slaves tended to be light skin. They tended to be, the master knew that was his kid. So they had some preferential treatment, right? And so, you know, this has been the whole fair skin deal. It exists. But what's happening now, I don't know if you've noticed that there are now lawsuits. All of the perming of our hair is causing cancer. It's proven.
I saw that research come out about that being linked to cancers in Black women.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of us have been, I remember my mom was mad with the babysitter when she even pressed my hair, right? Like we were going to eat away for Easter, and I came all excited that my hair was straight. And my mother's like, she felt like she should not have done that without her permission. But I was getting perms downtown, paying a lot of money, one of the best stylists. Ninth grade, 10th grade, you know, I would wear braids. Then I would take it out and then I would perm my hair. I mean, I just did that dance for many years. But the chemicals starting so young, and some people were perming their kids' hair at 5 and 4.
You understand? No, not in my house.
It's happening. And so now. It's
still happening quite a bit in a large scale.
Yeah. So you have, now it's proven. And I think that's going to be. There are some women, because I heard a woman downstairs, she's so funny. She says, I'm on, she is 80, beautiful Hispanic lady, like a dark Hispanic. I'm not giving up my color. And there are people who are they're not going to give up their straight hair. It's not going to happen. And that's their choice, right? Many of us will die to have our hair manageable, straight, whatever you want to call it. So I'm not willing, you know, I have my scalp was just, it has still hasn't recovered fully. I mean, I'm surprised at how long it takes the scalp. And this girl put something that was like a natural oil on my scalp and it irritated. I had never had any issues even with the color. But Annette said, what did you put in my hair? And she showed me it was a natural oil. I've been to the dermatologist, all kind of stuff I'd never had happen before. But the bottom line on that is that now there are commercials inviting people if you have ovarian, this cancer, that cancer, and you have been perming your hair using these, you know, chemicals, you have a lawsuit.
Well, I haven't yet to see that one, but I did read the article maybe about 2 years ago, and I've been sharing with people to say, hey, if you're still relaxing your hair, please consider not doing that because you're harming yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I used to do that myself, and I haven't done it since 2017 or so. And so transitioning, I'm about to be like you, my natural locks. I really don't like the word nappy because I don't even know. It just gives such a negative connotation. Our hair texture is just different. It's if we get the proper moisturizer and the proper shampooing and conditioning, our hair is soft and curls up. And there is really nothing wrong with that. I think there's just too much negative information to Black girls about wanting to have straight hair because, you know, other people around have straight hair and they might think they're going to be more accepted. But I'm raising my daughter to just be fully into who she is. And I want to support her in that experience and journey too. So I'm fully transitioning. So,
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So there's a lot going on, but ultimately one step at a time, like you mentioned, we choose our personal battles, right? What am I going to stand up for? I don't think this is a time that we all have to choose a battle because there's a lot going on. And we can't have 75% of the population sitting on sidelines of life waiting for other people to do stuff. These people got funds, lobbyists, you know, and an insatiable appetite for making money and profiting, and our lives don't matter. Mm-hmm. American lives don't matter to American corporations.
Mm. And the sad part about it is, since they're making the change for other countries who require those changes, and I'm sure they're still making profits, what's the problem with making the same changes here? We have to eat. So what's the problem with giving us healthy, nutritious, clean food?
Number one, they have it formulated a certain way. It may taste different and we may not like it. Because I lived in London for a while. And I remember the ketchup tastes different. I didn't know why. Because they didn't have all the crap in it that I was used to. You know, sometimes even though
sugar is a big thing.
Exactly. So there are certain food. I remember Frosted Flakes were called Frosties out there at the time. And so, but I remember the ketchup tasting different. That's the one I actually remember. So when you have found a formula that works and people are buying it, they're addicted to it, the last thing you want to do is to change that formula, right?
I also imagine that some of the chemicals are in these mass produced sort of settings. They're producing things and making sure that they are extending the shelf life. And so some of that might go behind that logic of extending the food and how long it might be sitting in a warehouse on a shelf before someone actually buys it. And so I could see that.
That's you know, salt is a preserver. A friend of mine who's a nutritionist, a friend of hers got a job with a big company and she's a chemist. And her job description was very simple. Make our products as addictive as possible. End of story. They're competing with other brands. And they need us eating their product. And they need us eating more of it, even if it's causing us to have extra weight and extra health problems. That's not their problem. Ultimately, we get the blame, right? So now they have, the pharmaceuticals have a solution. That's a chemical that is, you know, telling your body to do something. And when you stop using it, then your body, if you haven't made the lifestyle changes, everyone wants to skip having to make the lifestyle changes. Oh, I want to go get a sleeve. I want to get this. They used to require that you lose a certain amount of weight, go through certain, you know, psychological, you know, testing. And now you can get these things done without going through that. Because ultimately, how many people gained all the weight back from the sleeve? Gastric surgery.
Right. Okay. When you say sleeve, you're referring to gastric surgery.
Yeah. We have to change the habits. If we change habits, they lose money. They're not trying to help us do that. If we eat properly, we won't need medicine. That's an industry that relies on us being sick. They're not trying to help us get well, because medicines, for the most part, don't help you get well. They help mask symptoms. Cold medicine, different things like that. When our bodies go into fever, that's our bodies getting rid of something toxic in our bodies, right?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, if you look at the symptoms that we then, you know, when we sweat, certain things our bodies do, that's part of the healing. Our bodies know how to take care of themselves. But it's just overwhelming when you live in a city and you have all the noise, right? You know, stress is doing a whole nother number too. Mm-hmm. If you're always on edge and, you know, at your job because your boss is nuts and this girl doesn't like you, she's sabotaging you, you know, all of that stuff is a whole nother deal. Some jobs are not worth having. It's not worth the money, right? To go through what your body goes through just to be there.
Right.
This becomes this fight or flight state. We're in it all the time. Cortisol all the time. That's a whole nother episode.
Oh, it sure is. It sure is. Because I know when I'm like on sugar overload, I'm more anxious. I am just like on edge about everything. And the moment I slow down and start having my teas without sugar or any sort of sweetener, and I know it's not easy, right? Especially if you've been drinking sugar for a while or eating sweet things. But sometimes you have to give your body that break. I did a whole month of like a detox from fried food, from sugars, from certain carbs. And it was just amazing. At the end, my whole taste completely changed. I was sleeping better. I was thinking clearly. My foggy brain cleared up. The weight just melted off of me.
This is my question. It's to you and it's to me. Because I did, when I did that study where I met Dr. Boltzwitz, I felt fantastic. Why do we go back? Because when you do the Daniel, you know, everyone does a Daniel cleanse. We can really just eat like that. There are people who eat like that. If you get this wonderful feeling because you've eliminated certain things, right? We're like lab rats. The dog that returns to its vomit. See, that's where the chemicals, and you know, why do we go back? Why do we go back?
I think a part of it is the environment, the stressors that we have in our environment and then use of our time and impact social media, I think, is having on us. And we don't realize we're subconsciously making unhealthy choices. And a lot of times not using our time wisely, not planning our meals. And then when you don't sleep, if you're not resting properly, then it leads to you overeating the next day, making unhealthy choices. And once you start putting that in your body, it's like this domino effect. You just keep it up. And after a few months, you realize you're back to where you started. And so it's almost like you're fighting to stay awake.
So, you know,
I'm serious. I've walked this, like fighting to like not put something in my body. And I know it's going to harm me. But it tastes so good. Right. And
this, you know, the funny thing about the stuff I eat, like when I have one of the first things I realized maybe 20 years ago, I was like, I need to get rid of cereal. I'm a latchkey kid. I ate cereal for lunch. You know, I ate cereal. Right. And I took it right into my adulthood. Cereal. Even because I recognize, even if I get one of the most healthy cereals out there, I'm going to eat the whole box. It's like it calls my name. You know what I mean? I eat cereal. Even if I'm eating with almond milk, right? I'm eating cereal. I'm eating it all. So I'm not this is another trap for people. And nutritionists talk about it. One of the clients I work with said, oh no, my nutritionist, who she's had for years, says I can eat anything I want as long as I eat it in moderation. And I just went.
Yes, that's become the slogan, right? Have anything you want until you just have it in moderation, rather. Crazy, huh?
It is crazy because the food is being designed for you to not be able to eat it in moderation. So then now it's your fault when you can't eat it in moderation, because we really think I can do this. You know, I can do this. And then when we don't do it, we feel like failures. You see the game they play?
Yeah, it feels like a war.
It is a war. It's a war. You ever see that? It's a cartoon with a guy who has all this debt and he's walking. He's like almost to the ground with all of this debt on his back, you know. That's kind of the way it is, except people, I didn't know it. I'm a wellness professional. I've been vegan. I've been doing a master cleanse. I've been doing a lot throughout the years. Having victory a lot of the times, having some failures. I'm in failure mode right now, interestingly enough, when I know more than I've ever known, right? In my own head, failure. Mode, but I'm getting out.
You know, what are the advice that you have for people who are coming into this country who are new to the environment and the types of food that we have here? Like, how do we make healthy choices? And particularly, like, what are some choices or recommendations you might have for children and like things to just stay away from that are like, no, based on your research? And then you can just lead right into talking about how do people find your resources, your classes to educate themselves and even get connected to you online to be a part of some of the work that you're doing.
Sure. So I would say it's according to, you know, I'm not going to assume that everyone coming here is coming from a clean eating background, you know, but if you are coming and you're used to eating vegetables and you're used to eating live foods, don't abandon that for pizza and all of the ultra-processed foods that are here. our country is in a state of emergency when it comes to our health, primarily caused because of our lifestyle. So if you're coming here and you have a different lifestyle, try to stick to your lifestyle. Try to eat at the stores that your comrades create so that you have the indigenous fruits and vegetables. Stick to your own program. Make sure your kids. I saw a man in the store with he was African and his little daughter. He was teaching her, that's ham. That's pork. You don't eat that. Well, he's looking at the, you know, all the meats. And then she had a bottle of like sky blue. I don't know if it was Powerade, something like that. And I said to him, she might as well eat pork if she's going to drink that. You understand? So I'm going to share with you a link to learn to read labels. Be very intentional about your food. Teach your kids about food. There are some kids who've never had sugar, ever. Their parents, you know, they have fruit. They have vegetables. They help them prepare them. You can follow these people on Instagram who are literally raising their kids outside of that. Make sure that the grandma, because the other thing is when you're trying to raise your kids to eat a certain way, and they love it, there'll be loved ones who will impose, oh, she can have one ice cream cone. You know, that's the grandma, right? Let them know. See, when people learn and more people are hearing stuff, we have to teach each other. This is not a small matter. This is not a small matter. You know, we are one of the sickest groups in this country, Black people. Black women, we're tipping the scale more than anybody. And we're only 13% of the population, Black people. In every negative category, we're leading health-wise. Why is that? A lot of stuff is marketed to us. You understand? Very intentional. So we have to be intentional. We have to understand that this is the only body we get. We don't put cheap oil and cheap gas in our cars. We spend money detailing a car, but then we don't want to do a cleanse to detail the inside of our bodies, right? Organic is not as expensive as people say. I've seen canned goods cheaper in Whole Foods than it is in the bodegas and fine fairs around my neighborhood. So research that before you assume it's too expensive, right? Take time with yourself, because if you've been eating sugar a long time or certain foods, it may take a minute before you're able to get off that stuff. And I'll say this, when you do get off of it, try not to go back. Do not go back matter-of-factly on Thanksgiving and say, oh, it's the holidays. You know, I can just have a piece of whatever it is. Learn how to make these foods with other ingredients. This woman she made this carrot ginger cake. It was delicious. Not a lot of sugar. She said it wouldn't taste. And it's great ingredients. So you can eat some of your favorite foods, but change the oil. You don't even need to really eat a lot of oil. We can make food without oil. That's a lot of stuff we just do out of habit. We were taught to do it and we think we have to make fun of it. Don't make it because this is the deal. Our future depends on it. This is beyond Simone, it's beyond me. We're talking kids, right? We're talking maternal health. You notice they never talk about nutrition when they're talking about the whole crises of maternal health in the Black community. Isn't that one of the most obvious things? And this is the other thing. And I know I might get flack, but someone has to say it. And I noticed this during the pandemic. I saw a woman and her husband had died with COVID. And she says, my husband was healthy and blah, blah, blah. And when I looked at the picture, this man was fat, right? Fat is not a healthy state. There's a lot of issues that comes with being overweight and obese. So no matter how many beautiful clothes people make, you know, we're beautiful the way we are. Please understand that when you're carrying an extra 50, 100, 200 pounds in your body, it is a health crisis. So if I'm carrying 50 extra pounds and then I get pregnant, right? And that's a whole nother discussion. Eating so much when we're pregnant, eating all kind of stuff when we're pregnant, everything that you're eating is creating that baby. Babies are coming out sick with diseases and all kind of chemicals in their system, right? It's a lot to be careful of. And guess what? Miscarriages and different things like that is not always the issue of the woman, right? These men, sperm, a relative of mine, I called him when I started seeing this and I started reading about titanium dioxide. And it causes all kind of problems. He got married. He and his wife, they announced they had a child on the way. When I said, well, what happened? Did they have a boy or a girl? She had a miscarriage. Oh. She gets pregnant again. The baby's going to have problems. She's a Christian woman. I'm going to have my baby. In fact, the baby had developmental problems. Did not live beyond two. Right?
Wow.
I start reading about the food stuff. And titanium dioxide was one of the chemicals, Bolsowitz mentioned, and fiber food. When I started researching it, everything that happened with the miscarriage and this and that and the other was tied to titanium dioxide and its impact on the male sperm. Right? So we're not only talking about you and me, we're talking about this could wipe us out. This food and these chemicals can wipe us out. They're causing fertility issues. Women can't have children. Women are having children that are defective. It's a lot attached to this. Not to mention, it's a national security issue. No one's in shape enough to fight on behalf of the country. Right?
Wow, that's another story. My goodness.
The national economy, even though the food companies, when you look at how much money is being spent on healthcare, and you're talking about Medicare paying for it and Medicaid paying for it, if I showed you the bills that covers my mother's lung cancer, she smoked for 60 years, and her dementia, you understand, with the cancer treatment, they're spending, it could be over $1 million, right? So this is also a huge part of our GDP, the money that we spend on health. We spend more on health than any other country in the world. Right?
And we're not necessarily healthier.
We're not.
Are we able to share your resources for folks? I have to really
yes.
wrap up because I've got to get on the road.
Yeah, Close Grass, that's closegras.com. That is Close, the generally recognized as Safe Loophole. I have a blog, and I'm going to do a couple of blogs, but I'm also going to be putting together a petition that I want to get circulated to support the legislation that Cory Booker has put forward, and any future legislation that helps us in terms of eliminating the toxins out of our food. You can reach me at 646-389-0063. That's the phone number. Marci, M-A-R-C-I, at Close Grass, 1S, CLOSE, grass, GRAS.com. I am introducing a masterclass. There's going to be a free version of it in May. So reach out to me so I can get you on the list. I'm going to be talking not as much about problems as I did today, but solutions. Because as big as this appears to be, there are things that we can do to protect ourselves from everyday toxins in terms of decisions we make in, you know, hair products. I changed my detergent recently. I am going to get a water filter. So there are some affordable things that we can do. We don't have to do it all at once. We can do it in parts, right?
Yeah. So yes, and I think you're on social media. You're on LinkedIn. Are you on Instagram and other places as well?
Yes. You will find me on the Marcy Keenan on both Instagram and definitely LinkedIn. LinkedIn is where I hang out.
Thank you so much for joining today. This has been quite the discussion.
We thank our listeners around the world, and we appreciate your continued support as we build our human library. Please remember to give us a 5-star review, subscribe, and share with your friends, family, and circle of influence.